we're on the five Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Mishnah Yud Aleph. Hu hayamon shivchan. He used to say their, he would say their praises. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus bor sud she'eno ma'abed tipa.
By where?
552 Mishnah Yud Aleph. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus bor sud she'eno ma'abed tipa. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus was a cemented pit who didn't lose a drop. Which means that Eliezer ben Hurkanus retained everything that he was taught by his Rebbeim, and he was considered an absolute encyclopedia. And he was like a cemented pit, never lost any of his learning. Bor sud, a cemented cistern, he translates it, she'eno ma'abed tipa. Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, ashrei yoladeto, fortunate is the one that bore him. And what kind of praise is that for Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya? I mean, that's praise for the one that bore him. That's praise for his mother. Where's the praise for Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya here? This is, it says, Huay Yamon Shib, and he said their praise. Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, Azri Eladata. Right? Not only that, if you take a look at all the other people, Rabbi Yossi HaKoin Chassid. Yossi HaKoin Chassid. What does it mean he's a Chassid? It doesn't mean he had pay as an 8 kugel. That's not what it means, that Chassid, right? Yossi HaKoin Chassid means that he's a level of, there's a tzaddik and there's a chassid. A tzaddik is one who does the din.
Righteous.
He keeps the law. And a chassid is one who goes beyond the law. Beyond the letter of the law. He does beyond the letter of the law. So it says, Rabbi Yossi HaKoin Chassid. Rabbi Yossi HaKoin went beyond the letter of the law. Right? You could always expect to get a better deal when dealing with Rabbi Yossi HaKoin. You could always expect that he was the one who's going to give in or go beyond the letter of the law. Rabbi Shimon ben Nisano Yorechet. Rabbi Shimon ben Nisano feared sin. It means he really feared sin. Fear sin means that the same way fearing sin means, you know, there's one guy who says, oh yeah, it's in a bear, you know. If you pick up a bag of candy and you see a hechsher on it, you know, well, I'm sure somebody must have given the hechsher, so I guess I could eat it. Right? That's some people are, you know, and, well, it's a questionable hechsher. Well, yeah, then it's his problem. You shouldn't have put that hechsher on it. I'm going to eat it. Right? Now, if you really feared sin, so then you would relate to it like if you picked up a bottle of Coke and somebody said to you, there might be cyanide in there. Well, that's their problem. They should have been careful with it. No, nobody's going to say that. You know, here it is. Do what feels good. Isn't that what it says on the Coke cans now? It says there's the new Coke. Do what feels good. Right. All right, if you said so, you mean you gave your hechsher, right? Because that tzaddik is on the can now. Yeah, there's a tzaddik with a cut-off shirt on the can, right? Do what feels good, right? A bal musar over there, right? You know, so do what feels good, right? That's the Coke. Right? So if you really fear sin, you're going to look for excuses. Well, listen, if he put a hechsher on it, I could eat it. And see, it says O.R. Right? No, sorry, doesn't O.R. stand for Orthodox? You know, there we go. I could eat. You know, listen, you know, Orthodox rabbis, right? You know. Yeah, so at the end of the day, you know, he had such fear of sin that he feared sin the way you fear cyanide. That's how he feared sin. Right? If you knew, you know, yeah, all right, guy makes a joke, says, I mean, you know, it's an avera, so I'll burn it. Right? And people joke, so I'll burn it. Yeah, well, that's what you say now, right? But if I had a boiling hot metal rod in my hand right now, and I would reach it towards you, you wouldn't say, that's all burnt. Now you'd run in the other direction. That's what it means to be a yorechet, right? Sometimes people do something, you say to them, you know, I don't know about this kosher, you say, well, it should be my worst avera. Ever people say that, it should be my biggest avera. Yeah, but there's a problem. Not your biggest affair. And something goes, well, it should be my worst affair, but it's not your worst affair. Worst affair, then we can talk. Yeah, but you got a much worse than that, buddy. This is just another the long line of affairs, right? Which are not even your worst affair. What do you mean it should be my worst affair? What does that mean? Should be my biggest affair. As if he's saying, you know, what he means to say is it's not such a terrible thing. Right? This is a guy saying to you, you know, listen, you know, I'm gonna take a, what do you call it? You know, I'm just gonna punch you in the arm. You guys think it should be the worst pain I ever experienced. You know, this is a guy who's got a broken leg, he has his finger caught in the door, and then you go and punch him. It's like, okay, well, big deal. Not every pain is a big deal, and you're only saying that now because you've experienced the pain. Right? This is Yorechet, he had fear of sin, like you fear a lion chasing you. That's how he feared sin. That was Rabbi Shimon ben Nisano. And the last one is, Rabbi Elozer ben Rach Kamayinam is Gaber. Rabbi Elozer ben Rach was like an overflowing spring. His wisdom was such he was just spewing it out. So now after you've seen the praise for all five of these Talmidim, so now Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya really stands out. Because look at the praise for Rabbi Yishuv ben Hananya, Asher Yoladeta. Fortunate is his mother. Why not praise him? What's the answer?
He's so great that his mother should definitely be praised for him.
Yes, he's so great. What is the greatness? Where is the one area in a child that parents take the most pride? That you say that everybody says, wow, his parents are really lucky.
Got a bend.
What?
He's got a bend,
right? Yeah, you're close. Yeah, I was going to say, becomes a doctor. Oh, those parents, you know, yeah, they're really fortunate. You know, those are the, but, you know, he made it. You know, he's rich. He's rich. Oh, fortunate those parents. Right. That's what people sometimes say. Right? When is it that people...
His achievements.
Which achievements? Which achievements more than anything else are people impressed? There are a lot of different... Tamachokam people are... What? He's got good mitos. When you see a kid with good mitos, then you turn to the parents and say, wow, you did a good job. If a kid becomes a Tamachokam, it's in spite of the parents. You know, the kid's behaving like a mensch. You're immediately making a connection to the parents. Well, say, you know, somebody put this in him. Right? The kid grows. That's why the Gemara says, no father is ever jealous of his son. Father's not jealous of his son. Right? Because people often associate achievement with the parents. So your parents go to the graduation, you know, there's their son who's graduating from dental school, and the parents are just sitting there and they're just beaming with pride, you know. And there's this guy and he's graduating, and the parent father's just, you know, they're just beaming. You know, people are just, father thinks that, well, people just see what we produce. Everybody is sitting there thinking, how did an ice barf like that end up with a kid like this? That's what people are really thinking. Yeah. You know, so there are certain achievements in life where the people are, what do you call it, where the people are you know, listen, you know, okay. Hey, listen, how a yuckle like that ends up. But when it comes to a person's mitos, people always make that connection. Ashri Yoladeto, the mother has the joy of having a son. That means Rav Yehuda ben Hananya's mitos were so refined that people immediately look to the mother. Now, at the end of the day, the Gemara says very interestingly, there was a woman who used to bring her son in a carriage. You ever hear this? The Gemara says a woman who had a baby. She used to bring the baby in a carriage to the Beis Medrash. So the baby's carriage, the baby was in a crib, she used to put the crib in, so his crib should absorb, the baby should absorb, his ears should absorb words of Torah. She used to put him in the car. Who was that baby? Rabbi Yishuv ben Hananya. This Rabbi Yishuv ben Hananya, Ashri Yoladeto, fortunate that his mother brought him to the Beis Medrash, right? And Rabbi Yishuv ben Hananya, that he absorbed words of Torah, became Rabbi Yishuv ben Hananya. B, he had the mitos that are reflection back on his mother. Now, even more than that, you know what the Gemara says about it? And it's an amazing Gemara. The Gemara says that a Roman princess once said to Rabbi Yishuv ben Hananya, such beautiful wisdom in such an ugly vessel. That she said that. Apparently Rabbi Yishuv ben Hananya was physically unattractive. You know, she said, Chochman mefors bekli mechur, she said an ugly vessel. Apparently Rabbi Yishuv ben Hananya, based on what she said to him, and she was asking, you know, how come somebody like you, you know, you kind of not, you know, not aesthetically pleasing, and you've, you know, accumulated such wisdom. Rabbi Yishuv ben Hananya said, that's why I'm so wise. It's because of that I accumulate my wisdom, whatever that means. Okay? So, it's just one pointer. If Rabbi Yishuv ben Hananya was like that as an adult, if it was what she even said was, you know, unattractive as an adult, so he probably didn't win any prizes as a baby either. Yeah. Now, can you imagine a mother in a hospital gives birth? You know, first of all, people lie all the time. Because people just say, even the mothers themselves, oh, he's so cute, they're not cute, they ain't cute. Whatever is what, they're not cute, anything but cute. Whatever word you want to use, they're not cute. They're not cute, they're not pretty, they're nothing. They kind of look weird. And babies look weird. Everybody knows. They look like they're having trouble getting it together. They just look like they're kind of having a hard time. They're struggling with everything. Ain't nothing cute about them, right? So, oh, he's so... Come on, lady. What exactly are you looking at? You know, the baby, the mother's just holding you. It's beautiful. It's so beautiful. Yeah, it's a nice blanket. You know, the baby itself. Right? Now, you know, Rabbi Yishuv ben Hananya was probably worse than average. Right? And you can imagine a mother, and a mother knows it. Mother knows when the baby ain't got it. Mother knows it. Mother's devastated. Right? Ashri Yoladeto. Rabbi Yishuv ben Hananya, even his mother, that's the most fortunate woman. Because at the end of the day, it's his mitos, that's the ultimate praise for the mother, is the mitos of childhood.
Who was he?
Rabbi Shimon Hanani was the Bar Plukta. He was the Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva. The Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva. One day they're going to say, "Who is Rabbi Rachman?" He said, "Well, Rachman is Shlomi's Rebbe. You're going to be his claim to fame, right?" So Rabbi Shimon Hanania, right? He was Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe. Wow. Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe, right? So Rabbi Shimon Hanania was Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe. Let's say Rabbi Shimon Hanania. He was also the Levi servant. He's Stam Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah. Is Rabbi Shimon Hanania. See Rabbi Yeshua quoted in the Mishnah. Is Rabbi Yeshua Stam Rabbi Eliezer? When it says Rabbi Eliezer, it's Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. When it says Rabbi Yeshua, it's Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanania. Who is he? He is Rabbi Yeshua of the Mishnayos. That's what it is. Okay? Now, who are you, Omer? He said, used to say the following, Mishnah Yudbeis. Imu kochach meisro v'chaf maznai. If you take all of the wise men of Israel and put them in a scale, remember they used to have the weight scales, now there's everything's electronic, but they used to have the scales, you know, that go down. Imu kochach meisro v'chaf maznai. Ve'eliezer ben Hyrcanus v'chaf shnia. And you put Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus in the second scale, Machria is kulam, he would weigh everybody down. That's the first opinion. Abba Shoda, who says that? This is all being said by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. If you put all the wise men of Israel on one side of the scale, and you put Eliezer ben Hyrcanus on the other side of the scale, he'd weigh everybody down. Rabbi Abba Shol, Omer Mishma, Abba Shol says in his name, Im you kochach meisrov b'chaf maznaim, if you put all the wise men on one side of the scale, v'Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus afimam, and you even added Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus with them. V'Rabbi Eliezer ben Arach b'chaf shnia, Machriyas go, if you put Eliezer ben Arach in the other side, he'd weigh everybody down. Right? So you see, we have Machlokas here, right? Machlokas is who's greater. Right? Does it seem is Eliezer ben Hyrcanus the man? Or is the Rebbe Eliezer ben Arach the man? Who beat a man? Right? You know, who you put him on one side of the scale, put him on the other side of the scale. Right? So what's the answer? Machlokas on who's greater? What's the answer? What do you say, Shlomi? What's going on here? Seems to be a machlokas. Who's greater? I tell you a story about the guy in New York. Guy comes in. Somebody told me this right before Shona. I was once talking in one of the programs, the Kesher program, and the back when they were here, what they called the Kesher program, the Off the Derech program. And I was talking to these guys were talking about their fighting exploits. Because usually yeshiva guys sit around a room talking about their fighting, I tell you, if they would have said one more word, each guy talks about what he would have done if he ought to say. These guys sit around a room talking about what they did. and you can tell they weren't like guys trying to brag, they're talking about very matter of fact, like. They're just like, these guys have been in so many fights, they're just talking about I punched him out, but this guy took me, he slammed my face into the concrete over and over. I just went into the, I don't remember one kid was saying, the guy was slamming his face in the concrete. He walked in on the basketball court, he walked into the clubhouse, washed his face off, came back out, started punching the guy, took him again and slammed his face in the concrete again. And the guys were talking, and they're just talking about it matter-of-factly. So they're all sitting around, and I was just watching these kids. These are from kids. And finally, there's one kid isn't saying a word. I said, Chaim, you're not a fighter, are you? You don't fight. He says, well, not for the last 3 years. I said, okay, what happened 3 years ago? Because he was in a club in New York, and there's a Puerto Rican guy walked in, and he's getting rowdy. There's a black guy, a bouncer. The bouncer picked him up. Beat him up a little bit, threw him down the front steps.
With the Puerto Rican guy?
Yeah, the bouncer beat up the Puerto Rican guy, threw him down the front steps. Oh, nice. They beat him up good and threw him down. Puerto Rican guy came back about 20 minutes later with his friends, walked over to the black guy from point blank range, about 4 feet away, he pulled out a gun. Oh, okay. He just plugged him 4 times right in the chest.
What?
In full view of everybody. Boom, 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 boom. The black guy went down. He said the Puerto Rican was in a frenzy. He was just standing over the guy. Said, "Now who the man? Now who the man? You dead and I'm alive. Who the man? Who the man?" He said he was standing there like that, fingering. Says, "You're down there and I'm up here. Who the man? Who the man?" He said he was in such a frenzy that his friends were trying to get him out. The cops were coming. His friends were trying to get him out. He wouldn't leave. He's just standing in front of the guy's desk. I said, "What'd you do?" He said, "Kidding us under a table." I said, "What about the other bouncers?" They were on their table with me. And were you scared? Darn right I was scared. And then he learned, from that point, he learned, but you don't fight. He said, "No, you never know who's got a gun." My dad told me when I got my driver's license, my dad said to me two things. He said, "Don't honk people, And don't flash people don't give them the finger when you're driving. He's like, you never know who's got a gun. If I listen to my father, 50%. But you know, you gotta go. I mean, that's what God has him give us the answer, right? again, in L.A. one year, there were about 40 shootings on the highway.
There was a story in L.A. It was like a year ago. So this guy was in traffic, and I guess this lady behind him was honking at him. He was in the middle of traffic. He got out of the car. He went into her car. He took her dog and threw it over the highway.
Really? What, over the highway? Now that people got upset about, right? If it would have been the human being, they would have thrown over. Well, listen, he's a lady. She's interfering with everybody anyway. That's it. Yeah, but over here, you know, threw the dog over. You know, the animals' rights people are out. You know, they just had here. You know, they had their riot. Their riot. They had in Hebron the other day. You know, they had their riot in Hebron. They went in. Amona. So the next thing, you know, they were in there. The animals' rights people came out and they said, "Listen, next time the police go, they smash people up. They put people in the hospital." The animals' rights people came out and said, "The police should not be using horses. It's not fair to the horses." Right? The horses go in there and they weren't well fed before. The animals are like, "What to me? It's up to me. I take those animals' rights people, throw them right over the bridge, over the same bridge." Yeah, it was in the judicial public.
Oh my God!
This is how they had it. The animals' rights people were front there. They take them up and drown the whole bunch of them. I just throw them right off the bridge. Out of your mind? Yeah, you're crazy. Animals rights people. It's like one of those animal rights guys in the United States would poison candy bars in L.A. because they in a protest to save the whales. So they poison candy bars out of protest. And these guys are not normal. You know, these people are not normal, right? So yeah, you know, you say yeah. And so I ask you. I remember you guys told me that story right before Rosh Hashanah. That was my muster for the year. And you could be standing up. Next minute, you're horizontal. All things have got to plug you from 4 feet away. Mm-hmm. Boom, 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 boom. He says, my dad said, don't honk people you don't know who's got a glove in their glove compartment. That was his, I picked up, my parents also told me never pick up hitchhikers.
No.
I tell you about the hitchhiker I picked up. No. Picked up the guy standing alongside the road. I'm driving, there's a guy standing there. The guy had this long, stringy hair. It looked like a mess. It looked like a wreck. He looked like Charles Manson. the guy was so obviously looked like a pathological killer. So I figure he can't possibly be. Right, it was almost, you know what I mean? It's just true. He just can't. But it's like a guy walking down the street with a mask guy. He looks like a bank robber. You know, he's obviously not a bank robber. You know, the guy, it's too obvious. Nobody would be that dumb. So I gave him a ride. The guy's hitching, so I took him in the car. The guy was, oh, is he weird, man? Hey, is it okay if I smoke? I said, sure. He pulls out, lights up a joint. at least they didn't kill me. You know, I'm not here. On a main drag in Chicago, I said, I'm not here. So I ask you, so there's machlokas here. Reb Elazar ben Hurkanes versus Reb Elazar ben Arach. Right? There's Reb Elazar ben Hurkanes versus Reb Elazar ben Arach. Right? So machlokas. Who is greater? You put one in the scale, one in the scale. What's really going on here? So the answer is it's not true. It's not a machlokas. The answer is there's a machlokas in the Gemara elsewhere. Who's greater? Somebody who's got encyclopedic knowledge, a big bucky, what they call bikias, which we call Sinai. The Gemara calls him Sinai. He's like Mount Sinai. He's got the whole Torah. He's got massive knowledge. Or a piercing analytical scholar.
Oh.
An analytical scholar, what's called an Oker Harim. He could uproot mountains with his logic and grind them together. Who's the greater scholar? In other words, who would you rather be sitting next to? The guy you want to sit next to on a history test, or the guy you want to sit next to on a physics test? Right? There are different types of, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's knowledge versus analysis. Who's the greater Torah scholar? What do you say?
Both.
So Warren says both. But which one is better? One of them is still better. They're both good. Which is better?
Analytical.
So Gemara says the encyclopedic knowledge.
What?
Gemara says kula tzrichin lemorichadya. Everybody needs the wheat salesman.
The what?
The wheat salesman. Everybody needs the wheat merchant.
Oh.
That means if you don't have the information, there's nothing to analyze. You can only analyze after you got the information. We need the information. The machlokas here, Reb Elazar ben Hurkanes versus Reb Elazar ben Arach. Reb Elazar ben Hurkanes is the cemented pit. He doesn't lose a drop. He's Sinai. He's got all the information. Who's the Oker Horim? Who's the brilliant scholar? The overflowing river is Reb Elazar ben Arach.
Yeah.
The machlokas between them is, it's not a machlokas at all. They're telling you, when it comes to encyclopedic knowledge, then it's Rebbe Elazar ben Hodas. When it comes to, what do you call it? When it comes to analytical capabilities, then it's Rebbe Elazar ben Arach. Rebbe Elazar ben Arach is the one I told you that we don't find him anywhere again in the Gemara. Rebbe Elazar ben Arach goes off to a resort, to live in a resort town. You can't learn Torah in comfort. Torah is not meant to be in a resort. You know, pull up, sit on an easy chair, you know, have a bowl of grapes. Right? Rebbe Elazar ben Arach went off to live, he left Yavne, and he went to live in a resort town. And as a result of that, he never achieved the Torah, the potential that he had.
Why did he have such great knowledge? Why would he?
He didn't have the knowledge. Rebbe Elazar ben Arach was the one with the piercing mind. He felt it. He's going over there where things are a little more comfortable. He thought the other Chachamim would follow him there, and they never did. And that he goes lost, for all intents and purposes, he goes lost as far as his potential. He did not go off like Elisha ben Avuya, but Elisha ben Avuya's Acher, who actually became a sinner, but Elazar ben Arach just never achieved the potential he had. That's what the Gemara says about him. Okay, let's stop.